he went to the doctor for something else, and he finally told his doctor that he is like he's addicted to alcohol and needs help. The doctor,
doctor's like, yeah, no shit.
The doctor gave him a
doctor. I can see your body.
I have a nose.
I've seen your liver. I've prodded it.
Welcome back to a new episode of North of Failing. It's me, Dylan Jenkins, the host of this thing. We got a good one for you. Features my conversation with Dylan Jones, fellow comedian, and his friend and roommate, Victor Johnson, is also a very funny stand-up comedian. We recorded this about 7 months ago, so my apologies to both Dylan and Victor and you, the listener, for making you wait so long between these episodes. I know you were probably just... life was all messed up because you couldn't get your fix. Well, we're here to remedy that. Anyways, check it out. Dylan Jones at the Funhouse Lounge, Friday, July 29th. Free hee-hee, your mind. He puts on good comedians, and it's a lot of fun. Also on this episode is Portland comedian and musician Victor Johnson, and you can see him hosting weekly open mics at Ranger Station in Southeast Portland on Hawthorne Boulevard. Check that out. And he's also in an awesome band called Each Both, who currently have an album on for sale on Bandcamp.com. It's called Please Yeah. Check that out. Support local art, local businesses, local economy, and the internet all at one. You get to have a lot of fun. So here's my conversation with Dylan Jones and Victor Johnson. Thank you so much for listening. Have a fantastic evening. Peace. when you first started showing up at open mics, that's how I knew who you were for a while, was your laugh.
Yeah.
I was like, that dude's here in the back.
That sexy, sexy dude with that long hair.
Were you hamming up the laugh a little bit back then?
No, dude. I was hamming up everything. I swear, like, I even put on, like, a stand-up voice, like, hey, everybody, here we are doing stand-up comedy. Yeah. Wow.
You ever, sometimes I'll have, like, a panic attack where I'm thinking, like, fuck, I've written my funniest material. Will I ever be able to write something funny ever again?
No, I think there's definitely always more. Like, you could basically tell, like, all these, like, comedians that have been doing it for 20 years, do you think any of them use jokes that they've written in their, like, first 4 years of comedy?
I've listened to a podcast with Louis C.K. He said that's exclusively. He only uses material that he wrote 20 years ago.
Really?
Oh, that's why he had that. He had the big joke about the space shuttle Challenger.
Yeah, man. It was huge.
Still telling it.
Still telling the fucking airline food.
He's got that joke about pyramids. It must have been from... That must have been 20 years ago.
The pyramid jokes?
Yeah.
No, just a pyramid. It's an a pyramid joke.
Yeah.
Food pyramid.
Yeah, really. About the food pyramid.
Yeah, the change of the food pyramid.
You ever notice why pizza's on the bottom when it should be on the top?
God, it's just stupid.
Because it was built by Jews.
Whoa. They were, let's go on.
Egyptian Jews.
They had them in Egypt? They had the.
I think so, yeah. Wasn't that where, like, Moses was around? We can edit this out.
This is actually all just a fact-based learning podcast now.
That's why I signed up.
Names are.
The two people that I have with me, two very funny individuals, Mr. Dylan Jones.
That's me, everybody.
And the one and only Victor motherfucking Johnson.
Hello.
Thank you guys for joining me here in your wonderful living room.
It's nice. Thank you.
Here in southeast motherfucking Portland.
Freshly right winterized living room.
Oh, what? Oh, you guys put plastic over the windows there?
Yeah. But then just started dressing warmer, so I have a hard time telling the difference. We winterized the house, but then started wearing jackets inside.
Okay, what is the process of winterizing a house?
The windows, if you touch a window at most houses, it'll be very cold. And that's because there's cold air coming through the glass. It's not insulated. So you just put a piece of plastic in front of the window, between the frame and the window. Creates an airtight seal.
Oh, shit.
Keeps air from going through.
God damn, you learn something new every fucking day.
It's kind of fun because you have to you put the plastic on and you blow dry it to get rid of all the extra air that might be inside.
Oh, all the bubbles?
Yeah, all the bubbles. And then when you're done blow drying it, you think wow, this is really working. I feel a lot warmer after you just held a gun that shot hot air
and you're like, I did this. I did well.
It's winterizing.
Yeah.
Sure.
Realize the fucking window's open when you put the plastic over it and all that. Oh, fuck.
You can just close the window from the other side, not the end of the world.
There was my old band, we had a practice space at this warehouse out in Beaverton called Bongo Fury. And the guy, he had gotten an old Oregonian newspaper delivery truck. And he had this great service where he would rent it out to bands to drive you to shows and everything. And he wrote Bongo Fury Rehearsal Studios on the back of it, but he misspelled rehearsal. He left out the R, so it just said Rehearsal Studios. It was the funniest fucking... But it was all laid out perfectly and everything, but it's just one of those things that I can imagine got done. He was feeling great about it, God damn, I did this shit. And you realize, dude, you totally fucked. You left an R out of that.
He should have had a spelling rehearsal before he started doing that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're driving by, people have no idea. What's a fucking rehearsal?
It's marketing, really, yeah. is when it comes down to it.
It's when you reuse an easel. It's a re-easel.
Creating beautiful art.
It's not a good pun when you have to change the way you pronounce the word to make the pun work.
I said rehearsal. You're like, no, re-easel.
No, it's like in rap when they rhyme a word with the same word, you know? It's fucking high art.
It is high art. Because sometimes words have two meanings.
Dude, live and live, man, that's fucked up. They shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Lead, led.
God damn.
And all those beautiful twos.
Look, I'm a terrible speller, so at first I didn't even realize that he had misspelled rehearsal. I was just looking at him what are you guys making fun of him about? But, I remember once when I was in seventh grade, I saved up a bunch of money, and that's when I started playing guitar, and I saved up and I bought a fucking crybaby pedal. And Dunlop's slogan is live to play live.
Oh.
And my dumb 12-year-old ass was just looking at that box, not live to play live.
Live to play, period. Live.
The song Live. Live to play the song Live.
By the band Live. The band. So goddamn, how are you two guys doing, man? You guys keeping warm in this weatherproofed house?
Very warm.
Oh yeah. For sure. We're in Portland right now. I don't know how wide your listenership goes.
Dude, we got listeners in Wichita, Kansas.
What?
Yeah, at least one. At least one, they download the shit.
I thought you were going to say we got listeners in southeast Portland.
The greater Portland area, there are about a dozen people that download this. It's basically, I'm not good at promoting myself, ever, with stand-up, but I've forced my podcast on people. I've got no problem sending out invites and just aggressively spamming people.
Yeah, I've been forced upon by you before.
That, I liked it.
That's actually that's my comedic style. I show up and I'm like, you put me on this fucking open mic, man.
It's funny when you say Greater Portland. I always whenever someone says like Greater Michigan or whatever, I always think there's like a part in Portland that's better. Like, well, in Greater Portland,
well, you're in the Portland? You're in the better part.
Greater,
better.
Yeah, we're in Greater Portland right now. If they were the Greater District,
Dylan, what the fuck is Utah like,
dude? Utah is fucking. It's really cool, but there's so many weird things about Utah, man. Like, it's cool in the fact that, like, there's tons of, like, hiking to do. Everybody, like, at least everybody that in like the metropolis area of Utah lives at like the base of this mountain range, the Wasatch Mountains.
What is a metropolis in Utah, though? Like, that's like
it's like it's city, suburb, city.
A
suburb,
Utah
city,
metropolis.
Suburb.
That's like okay. You got a gun shop, a salt shop, a Mormon bookstore.
Yeah. Oh, they have they also and have
just
Mormon
a giant
clothing stores where you can buy the.
Undies,
the special undies.
Just
the
giant Karl Malone statue anywhere.
Yeah. Did you mean Salt Lake City metropolis or Salt Lake City like metropolitan area?
No, it's like a metropolis in like how it's just like one big city. You know, they're all connected. There's no like farmland in between, and there's no like empty roads in between. It's like a huge, like 13-mile strip of like just people population.
Boom, just Mormons fucking just yeah. Boom, boom, boom,
I
getting it
wonder,
out
so much.
I wonder I wonder how cities start.
Like, I imagine it's just like, it's like at the beginning, like, at like a source of, like, a place where there's a lot of resources.
Yeah.
Like a
yeah.
River.
There wives, is like, for in the case of the Mormons.
Wives.
Hey, a bunch of wives here.
There's a bunch of 14-year-old girls. God, those people.
They were just here. We showed up in the mountain pass. We're like, goddamn, we're settling right here. A
lot
man.
Of wives.
So many wives.
God, I would not be a good person to start a city just because I'd just be like, nah, that's too much work. Like, infrastructure? You try and they're like, look, we need to build a bridge. I'm like, yeah, that would, I can see how that would be helpful.
I think you could delegate that. It's not like everyone's like, Dylan, you going to pave this road yet?
Yeah, I would delegate. That would be my, be like, I see that would be useful. I'm not going to do
You've
it.
Just described mayor. You've just described
yeah.
mayor.
I'm like, look, these ideas are all sound. I'll try and find someone to do it. But then I just procrastinate. I'd be the worst. They'd be like, yo, man, we getting this bridge? And I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm on it, dude. Like, chill. Fucking chill.
How do you go about, like, asking your city, can I build a bridge here? Like, how does an architect go and be like, I think I want to.
Committees, I think departments. I
build this bridge.
Architects, man, those people have balls, man. They're like, I'm gonna build this building. I'm gonna design this shit. Check this out. I drew it up. I double checked.
The construction workers build it, in a sense, unless the architect was like, no, I'm on it. No, let me in there. We gotta wear hats.
An architect that's like, I guess that would be like a super Portland thing. Like the architect who's not only an architect, but he's also involved in every phase of construction. Because that's gotta kind of feel like. Like, yeah, you're a construction worker. You're on site. You're the one that your hands are calloused.
Yep.
You're out there in the fucking cold building shit. And then this fucking swanky ass car pulls up. Some snooty ass some college going architect gets out. And it's like, yes, I did this. And you're like, motherfucker, I'm freezing, man. You're in a
wheelbarrow full of rebar.
Yeah. I've got splinters and just. My broken relationship with my family because I got to be out here to make this fucking money. My back hurts.
And like my dad was a welder, and so he knows all about how like how engineers totally like they misjudge and overestimate how good their engineering skills are because
they don't
of them
know
have ever actually like gone and done the
yeah.
stuff. They just know how to do it in their heads.
Yep. Shit looks good on paper, but man. Putting on in the real life, man. So, yeah, architects. Fuck architects, man.
Yeah, that should be the message of this podcast. The name of the episode, really. Fuck architects.
We're actually sponsored by H&M architectural firms in greater Southeast Portland.
Yeah. The best Southeast Portland.
Yeah.
That guy in Wichita is like, I wanted to be an architect. So, Utah, I mean,
yeah,
dude,
back
it's really
to Utah.
Cool. Like, I didn't really have a hard time finding, like, people that were like me. To hang out with You know, it's like, but
oh, fuck, I spilled a beer.
There's definitely a large amount.
We'll edit the beer out.
Edit the beer out. How bad is it? Is it? Is it fucking electronics up? Because if not, then the carpet
no.
is already fucked.
You just use this blanket. I mean, we have people that stay over that use this blanket for blanketing.
It's good. There's still most of the beer yeah. left.
I think for reasons that are at hand right now, we can just like let the beer be.
If you recorded your whole life, you could have like big swaths of your life go terribly and just say, "We're gonna end that."
It's so true. Like,
this is actually a drinking game for this podcast. Every time we say we'll edit something out, we.
Instead of like your wife wants to divorce you, she's like, "Dylan, I want you to edit me out."
Yeah. I don't know. That's gonna be a very in-depth process. I got to open up GarageBand, fucking
whatever you have to do.
Oof. What brought? Okay, so how old were you when you moved here to Portland?
I was 21 years old. Yeah.
Oh shit! All those years ago.
Yeah, 1 year ago. Actually, like yesterday was my 1 year anniversary of being in Portland.
Oh shit! Congratulations!
Oh,
thanks for
fucking metal.
Yeah. Thanks for raising our property or rent cost, asshole.
Yeah, I definitely I started out in the shitstorm and ended up in Greater Portland.
Now what? Now so what made you come to Portland as opposed? I mean, you're okay. So you're already in Utah. And you're like, I could go anywhere.
Well,
even Utah.
Actually, I came from.
Well, you're like, I'm already in a metropolis.
Yeah, exactly. You go to Gotham now.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I read in the Daily Planet, man, that Portland had some good shit, man.
Yeah. Willamette Weekly syndicated to Utah. For people who don't know, Willamette Weekly is a local Portland newspaper.
No, man, we were going.
I'm trying to help.
Victor
that guy
and I were going
Wichita.
On some
like,
DC references, man.
Sure.
Comic books.
Yeah,
but the
sorry,
Wichita guy appreciates Dylan's input. Dylan J. Jones.
Dylan J. For that matter.
I asked the. Yeah, Dylan J. E. You're yeah, Dylan. See,
Dylan
we're both
J-O.
Dylan J's here, man. This is confusing. This whole time, Victor's going to be like, hey, Dylan, both of us are going to like look over.
Yeah,
like,
it's already happened a couple times.
I see no reason why I'd want any of your attention right now.
Actually, though, I did not come from Utah to Portland. I came from Monterey, California, to Portland, so I did
like
do the
cheese.
Yeah, no, like the bay. Like, oh, there is
like
Monterey.
The Jack.
Yeah, you're
like
right.
The Jack.
Monterey Jack. No, that's from Jack, California.
I mean, feel bad if your name was Jack and you did a lot of cool stuff in Monterey, and people want to call you something, and they can't.
Hey, that's Monterey Jack, man.
Ah, shit.
He's always been upstaged by his cousin Pepper.
Hey, Colby, get over here.
And then his younger brother, Medium Cheddar, was always stealing his fucking shine.
Like how everyone in the stereo is stealing for Monterey Jack.
Oh, yeah. Always, man. Monterey Jack, man, that's an overrated-ass cheese, man.
I like them all. I mean, except the very, very yellow. I like them all.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of American cheese, that is.
Well, you can get out.
And get out.
You can get out of my cheese shop, goddammit.
Where do they make American cheese?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's actually all imported.
It's all imported.
That's American cheese imported from Canada, man. It's fucking crazy.
So at Subway, the American cheese is white.
I know, man. That's fucked up.
It's because American cheese isn't really cheese. They can color it. There could be purple American cheese.
Kraft is a German company, man. Y'all know that?
Is that why they call them Kraftwerk? I like how you snap like there was any insight in what I just said.
That's my thing, man. Like, now, when people say something I like, I snap and I point. That's going to be my new thing as a comic.
Nice.
After every punchline. Yeah.
That way we'll know when to laugh.
That's one of those architect things where it seems good right now, but
yeah.
You're going to do it.
I'm designing my stand-up bits and like drawing them out on a plan and be like, boom, little asterisks as to where I snap and point.
And then hire a team of 40 men to do it for you.
Yes, 40 grizzled... bitter alcoholics with bad family relationships, and then I could come up. Okay, my bad. We keep interrupting. So
no,
you came from.
I'm not that eager. I love these little bits we're doing. We could take 100
years. What the fuck
years.
Were you doing? Okay, so what do they do in Monterey, California, besides make Monterey Jack cheese?
Which they don't do there. I don't think you just made that up.
I'm pretty sure it's a fact.
Really? I didn't see any cows in Monterey, California at all. I don't know where they're getting this cheese.
Goats.
Maybe
sheep.
Is Monterey Jack cheese goat cheese?
No way.
That's feta cheese, right?
Man, you can make any style of cheese with goat milk, man.
But you work at Whole Foods. Now you're moving on up, dude.
Congratulations. Yeah. Your Facebook bio says you work at Whole Foods.
Yeah, I rub that shit. I'm like, Freddie. That's why my middle name is actually Freddie, because I work at Fred Meyer's.
Really?
All right. So anyways, back to the
issue at hand. I was in Monterey. I was helping like this this hoarder dude. This guy was like a hoarder. His name was I guess I can't say his full name. His name was Jack. Monterey Jack.
What was his name really, Jack?
His name really was Jack. I won't give you his last
Monterey
name.
Monterey Jack. He was hoarding, man. The apartment smelled terrible. It smelled terrible, man.
But the sandwiches were great.
It wasn't an apartment, though, because this guy is from like a really well-off family.
Yeah, he's from the Monterey Jack family, bro.
He's from the Monterey Jack.
They got fucking cash, dude. Every time Monterey Jack cheese is bought in this world, man, Jack's family gets taste.
He gets residuals for that. He gets like a 10-cent check in the mail.
Okay,
so how
bad of a hoarder was he?
Oh, it was bad. But he hoarded a lot of really cool shit, though. Like, he had like tons of like old like NASCAR. It was all like antiques. Like, he had NASCAR stuff and like 6 cars and like 10 Harleys and shit like that. He hoarded a lot of stuff. But I guess he got like in this like crazy car wreck, and he like couldn't really walk very well anymore.
This is the guy that you were working for?
Yeah, this isn't the Colorado guy, which I think is who you were mentioning, Victor. But he lived in Monterey, and I was there to like, cause like the city was coming down on him, and they were like gonna like kick him out and condemn the house because,
like, you got to get the fuck out of here with all your shit.
Yeah, and there was like this really nosy neighbor that was like went to the city council and was like, this has got to stop. They're putting canoes on places where canoes don't belong.
I know he's not active. Have you seen him walk? That motherfucker can't walk, let alone get in a fucking canoe, man.
And
I'm calling bullshit.
He couldn't walk, and he had like this big dog, and so like he did never pick up his dog's shit.
Now, when you say big dog, do you mean like he had a bunch of big dog shirts?
Yeah, just shirts.
You remember that company, Big Dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember Big
Dog. Okay,
that's not what you meant, though.
That's a stupid joke.
No,
stupid joke. All right.
Yeah, that's the cue to laugh, everyone.
Laugh, Wichita. Okay, so this
Wichita. You gotta get a hold of this guy, get his email or something. He's
it's unfair for me to assume that it's a man, you know.
Oh,
I feel
yeah,
like,
that's
you know,
true.
So whoever you are in Wichita, shout out.
Yeah.
Okay, so
right
now
the
we're now you were. How did you meet Monterey Jack? How did you meet this fucking hoarder, dude?
I met Monterey Jack. We should just call him
Monterey
Jack.
Jack.
I met Monterey Jack because I worked for this guy in Colorado, and they were like good friends, but and so like he had like this other guy from Colorado, like had like a bunch of land, and he also had a house in Tracy, California, which is like in like central California. And I guess him and Monterey Jack were friends because they both loved hoarding, I guess. the other guy was definitely a hoarder, too.
Monterey had all his canoes.
Between the two of them, they owned an article, every item that has ever existed in the world.
They met, and they're like, you love shit, and like, I love stuff, too, man. I got what you got. Oh, man, what more like what don't I have?
I got this strapping young lad that I can trade to you to go.
I got.
I was like a trading card to those rich assholes.
Okay, but they were rich hoarders, not
dude.
Poor
they hoarders. Were they were really rich. They had a lot of money, but they were both like it was family money. Neither of them earned the money.
Okay,
they just
that's right.
Spend all of it. Yeah, they're old money.
Old money, nice. In the cheese industry, and then fucking whoever in Tracy, California, from Colorado.
How
do you even get in? So I'm sorry. How do you meet Monterey Jack?
I was palling around with John. That's the guy from Colorado.
Okay.
I was palling around with John, helping John quit drinking alcohol. He was an alcoholic and he was dying, and I helped him.
How old were you at this point?
19 or 20.
How'd you
20.
Help him quit
yeah,
drinking?
I just took care of him while he was sick and going through withdrawals and.
Damn, what's that like? You're like, hey, yo, Jack, man, don't worry. You're just whispering, like,
it's
words
awful.
Of encouragement?
There's like, they will, like, psychologically attack you in order to convince you to go to the store and get them alcohol.
Damn, break that down. What was that like, man? That's crazy.
Dude, it was especially with this guy, it was a lot of it was a lot of like psychological manipulation, and especially like he had a really good bargaining chip of the fact that he was providing me with a place to stay and food and stuff. And but we both knew that like he had to quit drinking alcohol, and so I was already in Oregon and went down to California to go and help him for like 4 months.
Crazy.
Yeah, I've definitely like there has to be a map at the beginning of this this podcast to be able to track all of my movements.
It's actually I'll draw it on a block of cheese.
Yeah, draw it on a block of Monterey Jack.
That's exactly how it's. Okay, so you're 19.
20.
20 years old.
I was misspoke.
You move in with this wealthy hoarder.
Yeah.
Alcoholic.
No. The one in the guy, Monterey Jack, was not an alcoholic.
Oh, yeah.
John
no,
was
no.
the alcoholic.
John.
He's a cheeseholic.
I was 18 when I moved in with John in Colorado. I moved to Colorado with John.
Okay.
John just happens to have a house in California.
Now, what did your parents think when you're like, "Yo, I met this dude named John. He lives in the Rocky Mountains,
and we're gonna go start a farm." And that's what I told him, because that's what we went and did.
We've got this wealthy man who needs help kicking this drinking habit, and he's gonna substitute drinking with an 18-year-old boy. Mom and Dad, that's where I'm going.
Oh man! By the time I was helping John quit drinking, my parents had already been used to me being extremely nomadic and
okay.
just like going all over the place. Because I met that John guy when I was 18. I didn't help quit drinking until I was 20.
So you were aware he had a problem.
Yeah.
Sure.
I spent yeah. 2 years.
Spent 2 years partying with him.
Partying.
Like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old, I'm having trouble keeping up with you. Okay, so you meet him and then, like you say, I can't help but I'm only thinking of. You ever see Tropic Thunder?
I have seen Tropic Thunder.
When Jack Black's trying to kick heroin, they got him tied to the tree.
Yes, it is.
And he's just
it is
yelling
a lot like
shit
that.
At him, like, "Fuck you, like you piece of shit, just give me something."
Wasn't
I'm
he saying
kidding.
Like, "Oh, I'll suck your dick.
Yeah, I'll suck it.
I'll gargle the gravy or something." Yeah. That was a great line.
Did that guy say anything along those lines to you?
No, he did not offer to suck my penis, but he was definitely
on
willing.
Record. Just on record.
He was definitely willing to, like, he was offering me money. He was using bargaining chicks, like, "Well, then why don't you just get the fuck out of my house then?" You know, because it was his house, and it was bad. And but you know what? We had established before he drank his last beer that, like, it was like, "Oh, no matter what I say, you can't let me."
What
drink
was that
alcohol.
Last beer like? Was he like, "Hey, this is a problem"?
Yeah, I mean,
let me just give one last.
He had known for a long time that it was a problem. He just couldn't do it, especially with alcohol, because
yeah,
like
tough,
you
man.
Die from the withdrawals, like.
So did you have to monitor, like,
yeah,
getting him down so he wouldn't have, like, the physical? Because, yeah, I've heard that you know, he can actually die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so did
it
he,
was
like,
scary. His life was in my hands.
Step down his intake for a while?
No, he went to the doctor for something else, and he finally told his doctor that he is, like, he's addicted to alcohol and needs help. The doctor.
Doctor's like, "Yeah, no shit."
The doctor gave him a prescription.
The doctor, I can see your body.
I have a nose, actually.
I've seen your liver. I've prodded it.
I don't even have to be a doctor. I'm just not a fucking idiot, I can tell.
it's so true, because he was like, he always had this, like, young guy driving him around everywhere. And
yeah, as long as you're not the gas station clerk, you know that guy probably shouldn't be drinking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the doctor gave him a prescription of Valium. And then it
nice.
Was, and then it was just like, Valium can be used to help quit drinking alcohol. It, like,
makes you feel drunk, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But it's like a different addiction, to where, like,
yeah,
it's different. You can be really addicted,
like,
to Valium.
Okay, look, we see you got this alcohol thing. That's a problem. Look, I'm gonna write you a prescription. This shit's called heroin.
This is how you
just.
This is how
you
I
stop.
Profit
yeah, you
off
stop
your
drinking
addiction.
The alcohol, and then you just substitute this. Boom.
Yeah, but like, I guess it's like easier to wean yourself off of Valium. Like, you're not going to die from the withdrawals or something like that.
Word.
I think that's why they do something. That's why they do that. It's because quitting alcohol is deadly, but not.
What?
Like,
no.
I think it's like benzos, I think, is the type of drug a Valium is.
Mm. Now, what was the worst thing he ever yelled at you?
Oh, the worst thing he ever yelled at me. Wow.
You don't have, I mean, anything you don't feel comfortable.
There's no, there's like
it's like super tame. Yeah. Hey, you.
Hey, I don't
hey,
like you.
You jerk. Get me some alcohol. Dang it.
No.
I will ask you to leave, but seriously, don't leave.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but his point was is that, like, you depend on me, so you better fucking obey. That type of that was totally like, oh man, like,
the homeowner card.
Yeah, he was basically like, I own you, mm-hmm. and so you do what I say.
And you're like, I can get up and walk away, dude. This is. Yeah. Oh wait, no, I'm confusing him with Monterey. The dude.
Yeah, Monterey Jack cannot walk.
But the same scene happened with the cheese,
just
though.
With, like,
he's
weird,
like,
weird crutches.
I gotta stop eating cheese, man.
And the doctor says, "Doctor, I've got a problem with cheese." He's like, "Again, I know. I'm a doctor.
I can smell your flat cheese."
Yeah. For real though, that shit's disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay, man. So how long did it take him to get off the booze, man?
Like it took like 3 months to convince him to start. Because I moved out there because he had some harebrained scheme that I knew was bullshit. But that was my secret motive, was I was going to go out there and convince him to quit drinking alcohol. That was my secret motive. I think his harebrained scheme was like, oh, I'm going to buy some property out here in California, and I want you to help me fix it up.
And we can get drunk all over this fucking property, man.
And, dude, that guy smoked hella weed, too. Like, fucking, like a quarter of weed a day.
Damn.
Yeah. That's he was a lot. And cigars, too. Like, so he was just like,
this dude just fucking partied,
yeah,
man.
I like this guy. It was like every day was a party, to the point where it's like, you're not even having fun anymore.
He's like,
you're
man, I got booze, weed, 18-year-old boys, man. Let's fucking my own property out in Colorado.
So how early would he start drinking?
Dude, like, the second he wakes up.
Oh, shit.
Like, he wakes up with, like, the shakes, and so I have
beer
to...
Or beer or liquor?
Beer, and it was Coors Light was his favorite beer.
Was he a big
Rocky
guy?
Mountain.
Was he a big guy?
No. He was actually, like, really short and skinny, but he had, like, a big beer belly. Like, his belly was disproportionate to the rest of his body.
Crazy.
Kind of like in those really sad videos where you donate to, like, hungry kids in Africa. They have those big bellies. I think that guy was hungry.
Are you still talking about Coors Light commercials?
yeah. One of those sad, sad Coors Light commercials, man, where he goes in and the Rockies don't turn blue on his cup.
And all the women behave really stereotypically. Yeah. So you going to buy a beer or what?
Oh, shit.
Okay, so he's partying. Now,
yeah.
So he's drinking right from the jump. Did you ever seem like, did he ever like, try and drink like Listerine when you were
Stephen King style?
No, but I did. Like, I do remember, like, he, like, in Colorado, we were living on like ranches, and so they were like
ranch, like the dressing.
No, like the large expanse of land that you run cows on.
Vic knows what I'm talking about.
I know.
I don't. I'm laughing at how little I know what you mean.
But yeah, so like they were like really isolated, and I saw him once, like, like his mom like furnished and like put all the food in the cabinets and shit like that for that ranch.
Well, how old is John?
John is like John. Well, he's not alive anymore, but he was like shit. 50 at the time.
So his mom was alive.
And so his mom was like 80. His mom was like 80, and she was a badass, man. She like could get around. Like nothing other.
And it was her money he was
living on. It was like her husband's money, who was like had Alzheimer's and was like stuck in this like old folks home. There's a nicer word for that, but it leaves my brain right now.
Drinking like a motherfucker. He kept calling his son, like the Alzheimer's made it so he forgot that his son was like an alcoholic. So he was just calling him every day being like, "Hey, Jerry." And the guy's like, "My name's John."
Oh, yeah.
Hey, same difference, man. Hey, come get fucked up. Dad, I can't.
But, yeah, okay, like, cool. He would, he started drinking, like, really old alcohol. You know, like stuff that sits in a liquor cabinet for years because, like, one person wanted it, or it's, like,
aged.
Really good.
Yeah.
He, like, I watched him, like, open up a bottle of wine from the 1930s because he was so desperate for alcohol because we were, like, stuck up there for, like, it was, like, a snowstorm.
So it's like The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, it was like The Hateful Eight. Great film, by the way. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I saw it twice.
I just saw it, too. It was fucking great.
Oh, it's so
I just
good.
Saw it.
I wish we could, I wish all your listeners saw it so I could we could talk about it.
Fuck, we can. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
Okay, so what's it? So what? Were you successful in getting him to not drink?
Yeah, he quit. He quit drinking alcohol for an entire year before he died.
He was
sober. At least off of alcohol. I'm sure he continued to smoke weed until the day he died.
As everybody should.
Everybody should.
All
Remember
day,
that,
every
kids.
Day.
Smoke weed every day.
Till you die.
Yeah. Even, you know, fuck that. That's for posers. Stop when you die. When you, even after you're dead, keep smoking that ganja.
Get a pipe installed in your coffin. Have it go above ground.
Have a hose connected to it.
Get a generator. Put it up
he
there.
Actually, he hired Dylan.
Vacuum.
He hired Dylan to fucking blow smoke into his.
Yes.
He's like, man, a great way to pay respects.
Yeah,
for sure.
I need you to pour alcohol into my coffin.
Oh, God.
Every day. God damn it.
And make sure those mountains are blue before you do it.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
Yeah, it's got to be fucking cold.
Yeah, he's also Red Foreman from That 70s Show.
Oh, shit, man.
Story
okay,
got way
so, okay, so he quits drinking. That's when you then...
Yeah.
So then I
got John to quit drinking, and then John was like, "Oh, I've got a job opportunity for you," and that's where Monterey Jack comes in.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
Go out California way.
Yeah. I was already in California though. I was in Tracy, California. What I was saying earlier. Like I said, there's gonna be a map. Don't worry, all the listeners.
Yeah, this is like a fantasy novel. We need to have yes. fucking a map at the beginning.
We were just talking
select,
about that.
Select for references.
Yeah, Victor and I were doing a bit
down the King's Road.
Yeah, well, like when you first
up to Monterey,
you first get a book and like the first thing you see is a made up map.
You're just like, oh shit,
reader beware.
Yeah, there's a fucking a key, and you, yeah, you know, the,
yeah.
I love the,
there's a fake compass on there.
Yeah,
like, I need to know
yeah,
which
exactly.
way is north. What is this?
Yeah,
the compass was like also like to the side. It's like, wait, north isn't up.
Or like,
yeah,
he changed
it's made
it.
Up,
this
motherfucker.
This is Smeag. This is Flog. This is Grog, and this is Dig.
Or, yeah, it's just it's still north N W, but it's instead of north, it's like not. Yeah. W just changing.
Like, come on.
This is my fucking world.
How
I'll
big
do
of a fantasy
I
does
I
this need to be?
Okay, so then,
so
you're,
yeah,
you're like, okay, I got. You must be feeling good. You're like, man, I saved this dude's life, even though he died later,
yeah,
but that's not
of,
on me.
Because of liver failure. So
because, yeah.
I definitely didn't feel like I saved his life, but I feel like I made like the people around him have a chance to see who he really is for one more year.
Who he was.
Or who he really was, yeah.
Because he's dead.
He was, yeah, yeah.
For the record.
Yeah, we covered that.
He died... Alcohol-free, man. Rest in peace.
Did he die alcohol-free, or did he relapse?
He did die alcohol-free. He hadn't had a drink of alcohol since the last time I saw him.
Yeah, damn, that's fucking rad. So you're like, okay, already helped this dude tackle a major obstacle in his life. Now you get the job opportunity to help this hoarder unhoard things, essentially?
Yeah, definitely. The goal is to clean up the house to make it, like, up to code so the city wouldn't condemn it. Because there's all sorts of rules like, oh, there has to be, like, at least a 3 feet worth of walkway in each door. And
did
each
he
door
live, like, in a neighborhood? Or I kept picturing, like, a rural farm.
Yeah, no, he lived in, like, a neighborhood. And in like, California, everybody wants to, like, smash the houses together because everybody wants to live there. And so he, like, he had a house around like a bunch of other houses. He did not have a very big farm or yard.
He didn't have a farm at all.
He
man.
Did not have a farm.
Did he have any ranch?
That was the other guy.
He had a lot of ranch dressing. Like yeah. it all expired. And you're like, dude, you should throw this shit out. You fucking hoarder.
Like, I'm making cheese.
Yeah, but yeah, dude, that job was rough, man.
Yo, man. Come to the cheese farm. I mean, house.
There's actually a Dimitri Martin joke where he's like milk. Taste it's milk smells bad when it's a week old, but when it's a month old, it smells good because it's cheese.
Yep. There was like a.
I feel like there's more than just letting like milk rot for a month.
Nope. You heard it here first.
No, man. Again, fact based podcast.
How's cottage cheese made? I'm very interested in that.
You
process.
Let it rot in a cottage, man.
It has to be a cottage.
Or like you know how like
it's got to be like a windmill right next to it.
Someone named Miss Honey lives in it.
Yeah.
Or, it's,
she
it's
has
on
no
the,
children.
It's the same idea of like how like whiskey's whiskey, except for when it's made in Scotland, then it's scotch.
And mm-hmm. scotch. And
cheese is just normal cheese until it's made in a cottage. Then it's cottage, cottage cheese. Cheese.
Okay, so what was your job? Or, so you get the nice snap. Boom. Call back to earlier.
Call back
in the podcast.
To when we make jokes that aren't good. Yes.
Hey, stick around. If I'm involved, there's going to be a lot of that. There's going to be a fucking lot of that. I bat like 200 with jokes. Okay, so you get the job. And so is the job essentially to be like, yo, Jack, you should get rid of this.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, no. And then you're like, what about this? He's like, no. You move to the next thing. You're like, dude, this is an empty Coors Light can.
No.
Did Jack give you this? No. He's like, no, don't throw that away.
That is very accurate.
It's
about
similar to
what
the,
that job was.
It's similar to John, where he's like, I want to have this, and you say, no.
No! It's just reverse. Before, you were the one going, no!
Yeah, being in California during that time was very stressful for me. It was a lot of trying to make people be something that they're not.
Now here, for this, describe what his house like is walking in on level of... Would this be seen on an episode of the hit show Hoarders? Hit show.
Honestly, no. I don't think it would have been seen on the on an episode of Hoarders.
The hit show.
The hit show Hoarders.
Sponsored
on AMC.
Sponsored. Sundays at 9. Yes. Replays up Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. If you're homesick from work or school, Hoarders. Feel better about yourself, player.
Because you go to work and school at 5:30 p.m.
I go to night classes. I'm a hoarder.
Yeah, I got a bunch of shit, man. I'm home sick from work, man, because I'm looking through old.
What if it was like
cartridges?
If you're homesick from work, after work is done, you can watch Hoarders.
Yeah, when you're home by the time you normally would be, anyways. But you called in sick.
That's the time
this
to watch Hoarders.
You're the audience.
That's the worst time ever because, like, I feel like I would always take school off when I would feel sick, but then I would end up thinking, like, after 4 p.m., whatever I would do, I could have done that.
Yeah, anyways.
Still gone to school.
Yes.
Exactly.
But now I just have homework and weird inside jokes I don't know about.
Yeah, or, like, you get there the next day at school and you find out, like, oh, Madonna came and visited the class.
What the fuck?
I missed that?
You go see the
I'm a secret huge fan of Madonna.
You go see the Hateful Eight and then realize, oh, Tarantino showed up for the showing right after.
Oh, that's exactly what happened to me.
That happened.
So you guys were at...
No, I was. I went and saw Hateful Eight on the 29th when Tarantino was in town.
At the Hollywood Theater.
No, I did not see it at the... I saw it at the Bridgeport Theater in Tigard, Oregon. At the exact showing that I would have seen Quentin Tarantino.
Why'd you
at a different theater, though?
Dude, it was sold out.
Okay,
I wanted to do the Hollywood theater.
Okay, hold up.
Okay.
Okay,
let's hear it. Lay it to me. Lay it on me. Lay it to
me. You're like, look, I saw the movie at 6:30, the same time he was going to be there, but I was at a completely different movie theater.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, no. I
know, I did make it seem like I saw the late show and he was at the early show or something.
He was in...
Wichita guy's like, yeah, I almost missed Tarantino too.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Totally missed the motherfucker. Okay.
Well, I feel like where the narrow miss comes is that when I was buying the ticket, I was with the three other people that I wanted to go see the movie with. And I was buying the ticket and I was like, motherfucker, it won't let me buy four tickets. It will only let me buy one. And I was like, you know what? I want to see it with my friends. I went and saw it with my friends.
And you missed out.
And if I would have went alone, I would have saw Tarantino do a little presentation during the intermission and before the showing. Not necessarily a presentation as much as like a speech. Here's a PowerPoint I've made. This is a diorama
right
here.
He's got a fucking laser pointer and like a vision board.
Diorama is my favorite mode of presentation.
It's a great mode.
Still 3D.
Boom. He's got a Venn diagram.
I made a diorama of
See, these are people that are seeing this movie other places. These are the people seeing it here. This is me, right in the middle. Boom.
Venn diorama.
Yeah.
It's two dioramas.
Venn diorama? Yes.
Okay, so you walk in to Monterey Jack's house.
Yeah. And the reason it's not going to be on Hoarders is because it's really cool stuff. He's got like...
It'd be like, on an episode of American Pickers.
It would be. That's exactly right.
Saturday, 7 p.m. History Channel.
If you're homesick from work.
If you're homesick, 7 p.m.
Saturday.
Honest. Hey, man, I work weekends. Man, there's a whole weekend economy, motherfucker. If you're homesick, Saturdays, 10 p.m., check it out.
That kind of makes sense, though, because you're not out.
Yeah, you're sick. If you weren't sick, you'd be out seeing a movie, meeting your fucking favorite director. Boom. It happens.
That's true.
That's like Saturday Night
I'm going to see it with my friends. Yeah, fuck exactly that. Right.
I should have ditched my friends, and I would have been like, worth it.
You could have made a new friend. His name is Quentin
Tarantino. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
You'd be in his next movie. You'd be like, what's up?
I'd be like, you know what? I bet he'd like to hang out with me. I bet like we would be fun to hang out
hey,
together
Quentin,
with.
Man. You like Monterey Jack cheese, man, because I know somebody.
I know a guy who knows a guy in Monterey, California.
I bet Quentin wouldn't shut up about Monterey Jack cheese.
He's like, oh, man, it's the best thing. I put it on bitches' feet.
He tied it to Jackie Chan.
He would just have... He's like, I've actually got hundreds of hours of footage of Samuel L. Jackson yelling at a block of cheese, man.
I don't remember putting on a
sandwich.
Get this goddamn cheese off this goddamn
Now, we're
plate.
At this haberdashery, and I noticed there's no Monterey Jack. Monterey Jack was her favorite type of cheese.
That sounds like the name Samuel L. Jackson would have in a Quentin Tarantino movie, Monterey Jack.
What if they remake Snakes on a Plane, but they replace snakes with cheese?
Cheese on a plane.
Cheese on a plane.
It's not a problem.
Downgraded, first class.
Not a
problem. No, yeah,
flies off my plane.
It's a fucking infomercial for a new airline. Like this, they got fucking cheese on this motherfucker.
The problem would be,
I apologize. We keep that.
Yeah, we derail, but I find it so fun to
but
derail.
Okay, but so your job is to be like, hey, we got to get rid of this shit.
Yes, that is it. That's right. And,
now, how long does it? Were you successful?
No, I was not in the slightest. I got there, and like I'm staying in the house that I'm supposed to be cleaning up.
It's uncomfortable as shit. And there's no place for him to lay down.
It is very uncomfortable, and there is no place to lay down.
He's just laying on a pile of very cool antique-like motorcycles.
Yes.
Put a pillow in a canoe. That's a bed right there.
Yeah, I did. I definitely – I just
empty
like,
out some of them trash bags right there, man.
I spent the first day doing my job, which was clearing out a place for me to sleep.
Sleep. You carve out a little doggy bed area.
Yeah, and it was really cool. Like, the place I was, it was really badass. It was actually, like – a suburb of Monterey called Pacific Grove. And there was like...
suburb of Monterey called Colby.
Called Colby. And then, there's the projects American. I imagine American is... you guys are being very supportive right now. Definitely feeling the green lights from both of you.
Check out comedian Dylan Jones at various Portland stand-up comedy shows.
He does not have any cheese material. Clearly in this podcast.
Dude, that's my new thing.
I just think it's interesting to me that, like, you can buy a canoe and a GoPro and a statue, and sooner or later it just becomes stuff. Like, you get, like, five cool things, put it in the corner, now it's just stuff.
Just shit in the corner.
You have to carve a bed out of.
And, dude, there was so much cool stuff, but, like, when you're like, working on, like, when you're, like, working on clearing it all out, it does. Like, the coolest things will look like garbage to you.
Because
it's just in the way.
Like there was, like, a really cool bathtub. He had, like, the coolest bathtub. Like, it was, like, the ones with, like, the 4 feet.
Oh, clawfoot tubs.
Yeah, they're, like, standalone tubs. Yeah. And it was in the living room. And I'm, like, this is not belong.
This isn't a bathroom,
and
Jack.
I ended up throwing it away, and it was a big deal.
He's like, no.
I broke Jack's heart by throwing away that tub.
Well, yeah, you don't throw away a fucking clawfoot tub, dude. That's,
are you sure you were in the living room? Maybe you just were in his bathroom.
He's like, that was actually my bathroom,
dude, and,
asshole.
And that guy, he would have totally been like, yeah, I'm trying to convert it into a bathroom. That's kind of how he sounded. He didn't have the...
Sounds hard to talk to.
Dude, he was really hard to talk to on the phone because he did a lot of stuttering.
I imagine...
Was he coherent or was he like kind of making up his own arguments and stuff?
He was definitely... I mean, he was coherent. He knew that the city wasn't into it, but he definitely did not feel like he was doing anything wrong. That like because it was all really cool stuff. He had like great... He used to be like a jewelry maker, so he had like zillions of cool jewelry tools and stuff like that. And
were there any dead cats in the house?
No.
You're watching too much of the hit show Hoarders.
Yeah, this is an episode of the hit show American Pickers. But yeah, eventually.
You're like, what's this fucking toilet? You throw that out. He's like, that's where I poop.
That explains why I had to unhook all this piping.
Yeah, the goddamn, you're exactly. Hoarding all this fucking plumbing.
What if you just throw away all the stuff that he actually needs? What's this, a heater?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great spin-off.
You're hoarding all these goddamn walls, man. That's the problem.
No walls, no hoard.
Yeah.
That'd be a great sketch. Like, the same people who go in to, like, the hoarders' houses to, like, just inspect everything. They go into, like, a really clean, like, feng shui house and just be like, this is all wrong.
No, they're like, hey, can I store my boats here? Reverse hoarders.
Yeah,
that's a classic sketch idea, though. It's like, hey, let's take a common thing that happens and just do the opposite of that.
Hey, man, that's comedy gold.
It is comedy gold.
So you're talking to him on the phone, and he's like, that.
Yeah,
thanks for coming.
It's all folks.
Yeah. That was his response every time he was like done with you guys throwing away his shit. He's like that's all, folks.
Oh god, yeah.
Okay, so how long were you with Jack?
I lived with Jack for like 2 months or something like that. That was like
uncomfortable 2 months.
It was a really but it was a really cool experience, and like he was a really trippy dude. I went on like a
he was tripping on all his shit, man. Like, he couldn't walk.
I went on like a million like really like nice dinners, like, because he was really rich, and so he would take me on like he'd take me to places that I definitely felt like I do not belong here. What is everyone's wearing a suit?
He walks into a nice restaurant. He's like, man, I could put so much shit in here, man. Y'all got an extra room, man? I guess.
No, he goes into the back kitchen and be like, do you guys have like one of those industrial dishwashers I might be able to buy off of you?
He's stealing plates. He's like, oh, I got just a spot for this, left corner.
Was it just you helping him out?
No, it was not just me. It was just me that was like living with him. But like there was this guy, Bobby, who was like kind of like a tweaker. But he was like really smart, like general contractor. And he was the guy who was coming up with all the the ideas of like, oh, how do we fix the plumbing? How do we do this? How do we do that? I was kind of like,
and he was delegating it to you.
Yeah,
there's me, sure. Right? Coming right. Yeah, there's a lot of work. Okay, so Dylan, here's like, yeah, you're gonna have to move that.
Mayor tweaker.
Yeah, and he was definitely like a tweaker. I don't know if he was on it himself, but I definitely knew that he sold it. And yeah, but in his side job from selling meth was fixing up this hoarder's house.
Look, man, I'm not all bad.
That's okay. A weird balance.
Yes. Hey, like, yes, I sell meth to the community, but I also help old disabled folks that have a bunch of shit. I delegate it to young boys to come over and help.
Yeah, but it turned out to not be that good of a job.
You don't say.
Yeah, believe it or not. I did.
After all that.
I only got paid like $500 for like the 2 months.
He paid you in cheese.
Yeah. We went on a lot of nice fondue dinners. It was
like,
great.
Motherfucker, I'm lactose intolerant, man. I told you this.
He's like, ain't nobody can be lactose intolerant in my house. Not in Monterey Jack's house.
Just fart your way to the bank.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the process of
at
leaving
that point,
him?
At that point, I was like, all right, I'm done with this. During all of this, I'd definitely been getting very antsy, and I had already decided before I even left to California, or to Oregon the first time, before I'd left to Oregon the first time, that I was going to be a stand-up comedian. And I did a couple of open mics in Utah, but there was only like two a week, and one of them was at a diner, and the other one was at Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City. And so I had already decided I was going to be a comedian, and so I was like, I'm gonna go to Portland and be a stand-up comedian. And the reason I chose Portland is because I had a friend who I went to junior high with that ended up moving to Beaverton, which is like a suburb of Portland. And I decided like this situation is not working out for me. I don't want to work for this Jack guy anymore. Nothing's getting done. I'm just moving things from one room to another room.
To be fair, that's a lot. That's a lot of what cleaning is. Yeah. Just moving things.
But it doesn't ever go out. There's so many things in his house, and nothing went out. It just got moved to different rooms. It was awful. But it was a cool experience living in that.
Move that
town.
Stack over there. Just move it. Like, no, we need to get rid of it.
Yeah, I was like, there's a dumpster outside. Why are we keeping this?
Here's what you do. You take the dumpster inside, put everything in the dumpster. Yeah.
And then just leave it. That's
a new thing. Now everybody's happy.
Yeah.
I can go home now. But it was a really cool experience living in that town. Like, I saw a movie alone for the first time there. Because I didn't make any friends.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. In that town. But no, it was like 10 minutes from the beach. Like, I went swimming in the ocean a lot.
Rad.
But I decided I was going to go to Portland, and I was like, fuck Jack and all this nonsense. So I met up with John again. John is in Tracy, California at this time. I met up with John again, and
you're like, you're not drinking, are you?
Yeah, I was okay. Like, let's.
Okay.
So I suggested that we celebrate New Year's Eve in San Francisco. And that is what I did. But I had this idea that, like, from San Francisco, I'm going to hitchhike to Portland, Oregon to go be a stand-up comic.
Hitchhiking. How – that's something I've always just been like, there's no fucking way I could do that. That's just, like, way too scary. Like, oh, yeah, no – oh, hey, stranger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely scary, but – but I feel like the demographic that I belong to doesn't have to be as scared of
hitchhiking. No, but you're prime get killed hitchhiking material right here, man. You got the tie-dye shirt, long blonde hair. Some dude's going to be like, oh, shit. You're like, this is like, dude, some dude's rolling up the fucking I-5. He's like, goddamn, is that a young David Gilmore over there? I'm going to go kill him right now.
The cool thing about hitchhiking, I assume, on the interstate, though, is it's like binary. You know, like, you're going north.
Yeah,
I want to go north too.
Definitely, there's definitely no hitchhiking on the interstate. You cannot walk down the freeway. And so I chose highways. You know, just like it's the next step down from a freeway. So like
it's where you just get high and you find a way, brother.
That's
how he hitchhiked me in the highway.
You just get high, find a way, and make your way on down to California.
Weren't you heading?
Yeah, you're heading north, though.
I was, but I feel like that was the right word for that voice.
He got so high, he was hitchhiking the wrong direction.
Wait, is this southbound?
It's like, which way are you going, man? Whatever way you're going, man. Yeah. I just go where the wind takes me.
He was end up going in, like, a largest circle.
He's like, well, I'm going to the grocery store. Cool, man. Yeah. I need groceries,
You end
too.
Up in Portland, Maine. You're like, fuck, man.
I get like a bunch of eggs at the grocery store. This is great, man.
This is a great hitchhiking experience.
Now you're like a fucking hoarding hitchhiker. You just got a bunch of hold.
Sometimes I feel like hoarders end up becoming homeless. Like their houses do get condemned.
Yeah, they get condemned.
And then they're the grocery cart homeless people who push a grocery cart around.
The homeless equivalent of a hoarder.
It is so true.
Yeah, other homeless people are like, man, he's got so much shit, man. It's all bullshit, man. You don't need all that. Ooh, the road is right there, man. Open and free.
There's this hobo like hut or hangout on my way to work, where it's like right by like Revolution Hall, where like I was like, that is a sweet setup. That is a lot of stuff for a homeless person to have. They're like, that is like when I was homeless, everything I had was on a backpack,
as it should be.
Yeah, but I guess I wasn't technically homeless because like I was just a hitchhiker. I feel like that's
transient.
I was a transient.
Forget
man.
Homeless, man. You didn't even have a car, man. You didn't have shit. That's
I didn't have money in my pocket. All I had was like 10 pairs of socks and one pair of pants.
You had a bank account, right?
I did, but like no money in it. I had like
that's the best way to have a bank account.
Wells Fargo loves that.
I was like, oh yeah, I got $25 in it. I just got to go cancel the account.
I can't even. I've got $18. I can't even pull the money out of the ATM.
Son of a bitch, man.
Okay, but is at any point when a car slows down to pick you up, is there part of you thinking like, okay, I could
no
die?
No, the thing is,
or is
like,
that just me?
By the time the car picks you up, man, you are so happy that somebody is stopping And
I don't even care if I might die, man. It's just worth it.
And you know what? Like I never once felt threatened by anybody when I went hitchhiking.
How rare is it to get?
It's pretty rare. I spent like 8 hours one time walking, not getting a ride. I went 8 hours without getting a ride once.
At least you're walking though.
Yeah, that was my method. I don't stand at the interstate entrances with the sign saying where I'm going.
You just keep on moving.
I hit the highways. I find the highways, and the best rides you're gonna get are in between towns. When like you get out of those big cities, you're never gonna get a ride in a big city because they're just going around the block. But like if you're in between a town where like the two towns are like 30 miles away, somebody's gonna pick you up or let you jump in the back of their truck or something like that.
Crazy, man. Okay, so yeah. How long did it take you to get from California to Portland hitchhiking?
I didn't. You know, honestly, like this time I went hitchhiking, it was kind of cheating. I used Craigslist rideshare, and so it only took me 10 hours to get from San Francisco to Portland, but it took like 4 days of being homeless in San Francisco to tie down that ride to Portland.
Homeless, but you got access to Craigslist, man.
I did have a smartphone, and I did find a McDonald's that I could loom in front of and use there.
This is the best era to be homeless.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Especially
except maybe like in like caveman days, because then it's just like you're homeless, you're just going to be...
You just got to go make a home.
Yeah. Solved.
There it is.
Just like put a stick next to a rock.
I'm not homeless anymore.
And you didn't have to worry
a
about...
land of opportunity, really.
You didn't have to worry about society judging you, because like people would be like, hey, I got no home either, man.
Oh, man. Those were the days, right?
So you're standing out front of a San Francisco McDonald's like, yo, man, they got Wi-Fi in this corner? Like, no. Yeah, you just like go and stand by the drive-thru.
Yeah, I had tied down the ride on like the first day. But they were like, "Oh, I'm not leaving until the third."
And what the fuck am I supposed to do for 3 days?
Exactly.
Asshole!
I had to figure it out.
In homeless time, that's like 2 weeks.
It's so long. Being homeless,
in homeless dog time, that's like a year and a half. God damn,
dude! Being homeless, like you sleep maybe like 3 hours a night.
Because you keep waking up.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, and especially if you think like, "Oh, I'm in California. It's gonna be warm." It's not warm in San Francisco, especially New Year's Eve.
Yeah, you got the bay.
Yeah, especially New Year's Eve.
All the wind coming right up off the ocean.
Where'd you sleep?
It was awful. Like one night I slept it was like a touristy spot where people take pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge.
And then you're just all homeless, photobombing shit.
Yeah, and nobody, and like the police weren't like waking up homeless people sleeping in the parks. Because of the fact that it was New Year's Eve, that like they probably just assumed I was just like some drunk guy who was very well prepared for New Year's Eve with a giant backpack on. I'm starting to realize my theory that maybe I was just a drunk guy is slowly devolving and unraveling.
No, you're just a nice white guy.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah,
he's
like,
white. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and also I think like one of the reasons why I got so many rides hitchhiking was because of my age too, that I wasn't like an old dirty man. I was like a young adventurous kid, because like the first time I went hitchhiking, when I hitchhiked to Arizona, I was 17, and so like
Jesus,
people. I feel like there was a lot of like concerned moms who were giving me a ride, being like, "Is
that
this crazy?
Is
kid
that
doing?
Against the law? Can a 17-year-old, like, if you're not an adult,
can you
do that?"
I think as long as you're not reported as a runaway,
especially
I think you're okay.
If you're over 16, you don't have to be in school anymore.
Yeah.
When did you get your GED?
I did. I graduated high school.
At 17?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man. I was going to say, because if you hadn't, I would have to shut this off right now, because I don't have any people.
High school diplomas only.
Certified, man.
Yeah, I went hitchhiking like 7 days after I graduated high school.
God damn, this we got on the road over here, man.
I was definitely like not happy with like my normal life, and I was like, finally, there's nothing tying me to this place anymore. I could just go, and so I just went. But I went with a friend and my stepbrother, who had been hitchhiking many times before, like up and down the country.
So he, like,
so I had
showed
like
you the ropes. A
yeah,
little bit?
I had someone who showed me the ropes of just like where to go to like find maps and how to use all the maps.
Smartphone.
Yeah, I didn't have a smartphone.
Your stepbrother's like, man, I'm wise, man. I know the ways of the road here, man. You need trouble, like, you pull out your fucking iPhone, man. You man. Make sure the location's on. All
you
right?
ask Siri, where are yeah. where am I, Siri?
He's like, pro tip, man. Leave it on airplane mode when you're not using yeah. the battery.
Take 4G off, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Mobile
but,
data.
Yeah, he definitely showed me the ropes, even though I kind of learned that he was kind of a dirty dude. Like, my stepbrother was like a con man supreme.
How old is he?
He was like 24 at the time, so
found out that he actually wasn't like, even a stepbrother,
man.
Almost it was
a con. A long con.
long con.
I think he's like 30.
You're like, damn, man, he pulled a matchstick man on me, man. This is crazy.
Nice pull.
I've never seen that movie. What's it about? Matchstick Man? Con Man. Oh. Dude, those are my favorite kind of movies. Like
Nicolas
now
Cage
you see me?
And I think Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell and a girl Nick that looks Cage. Like Ellen Page but is not Ellen Page.
Kristen Stewart?
No.
She kind of looks like Ellen Page.
You're
right?
Just like, oh.
Oh, I love girls.
Ellen Page, but not Ellen Page. Oh.
Ellen Page with none of the snark.
Yeah, but straight. Oh, so there's a shot. Oh.
None of that weird Juno implications.
So, wait, what were we talking about before we got on whether slaves built the pyramids?
Your brother was a dirty dude.
Yeah, he turned out to be a dirty dude. Like, but I should have known.
Aren't
the
red a
flags.
Lot of hitchhikers dirty dudes?
Yeah.
What is provoking you to hitchhike?
Yeah. What? Why aren't you established in a place?
I don't have money.
Why?
But I do have a smartphone. But I don't.
And I need to leave now.
Yeah, I need to get out. I've been fucking with a lot of bad folks.
I gotta run out of here.
I need to go. Anyone? Will anyone take me?
And that's exactly.
I have
why
no
Ty
options.
Was a hitchhiker.
Can't stay here.
Anybody? I will stand on the side of the street.
Probably.
Now, did you do the thumb thing?
Yeah,
is that a real thing?
That's the universal method of asking for a ride.
Now, you come to, you get, you and your dirty dude crew get up to Portland via hitchhike.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sorry, I'm so vague with describing it. This is not that's not how it went.
Well, okay.
So when I was 17, I hitchhiked to Phoenix, Arizona, with those two dudes. All right. I spent 2 years in Colorado soon after that. Then I went back to Utah. Then I went up to and like on a weekend decision, I decided I'm moving to Oregon with because my friend Cody was driving there to go meet up with his mom because that friend that in junior high that moved to Beaverton,
mm-hmm.
that was his brother. Cody was his brother, and he lived in Utah. And so I hitched a ride with him. And like I quit my job, I was working for like Parks and Recreation, like
the
mowing.
Show.
No, Clearfield City Parks and Recreation.
He was the doorman for the show.
Yeah.
I was the doorman for the parks in Clearfield City.
I actually they scouted me out there like, hey, you like sleeping outside, right? And you're like, they had me sleep in parks and give the notes to Amy Paul.
Yeah, I mowed the lawns of all the parks in town, and I quit that job. I went to Portland, or I went to, it was like Deer Island, it was like in the woods.
Deer Island, where the fuck is that?
That's like, it's like north of here. Like, if you keep following the Columbia River, it's like really close to the border
north
of Washington. Yeah.
It is.
It's just north of Failing.
Metaphorically speaking. Because if you're in Deer Island, then.
You're probably south of Failing.
Yeah, Deer Island. Like, fuck, man, this island is nothing but deer. I can't find a place to lay down, man. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh, island. Where's the palm trees? No, it's an island on a river.
Now, when you
those are the
so you
least
get to
cool port islands.
You get to Portland. Do you know anybody?
No, the only people I know is Kirby and his family, right? And
the street.
So I get to Oregon, and that's when John calls me with that harebrained scheme. And so, like, I'm only in Oregon for, like, 2 weeks, and then I go to California and do all that good stuff.
Oh, okay.
Being a good Samaritan, helping all these old crazy fucks. Then I hitchhiked back up. I did the rideshare thing. It worked out really cool. Like, there was, like this really cool chick that, like, she I gave her $20. And she the stipulation was is you can ride with me to Portland. If you give me $20, and drive the whole way. She didn't want to drive.
That is interesting.
Yeah. And so she just like and like the only thing I had to do was like send her a picture of my driver's license to prove that I had a driver's license.
She didn't want to meet with you in person before?
No. We did have like a meeting at a coffee shop the day of, like the morning of the drive.
I should get a good read on this dude.
And she the was morning of. Like a,
he sent me a picture of a fucking driver's license. Like, did she ask to see the driver's license in person when you got there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. And,
you sent her just a picture of a poorly photoshopped, like, a Sesame Street license or some shit.
It's like my KISS Army yeah. ID. But, yeah, and it was really surprising because she was, like a beautiful girl named Raven. And I was like, what, like, you're going on Craigslist rideshare? I thought, I was almost sure, like, it was going to be, like, some like creepy dude or like just like an old lonely guy or
named
like
Raven.
Named Raven.
Old one. Yeah, all like I had was name Raven. I didn't like, come on over here, boy.
Yeah,
drive me.
We'll
take flight. And by take flight, I mean we're gonna drive in my '86 Torcel.
Yeah, I can't remember the type of car.
Torcel, that Taurus and a Torcel.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just thinking. I wanted to say Prius, but I'm like they didn't have those in '85.
Nope.
85 Prius.
He's a time traveler. That's what I got this Prius from the future, but the clause
yeah,
is
I
can't
Craigslist
drive.
Ride shared to Woodstock in 1969.
Okay, so I get to
Oregon, and at the time I did not live in Portland. I lived in Beaverton. I moved in with Kirby and his mom, and there was like there was another guy living there, and I just like lived on the couch for like 4 months. I paid like $300 a month in rent to
for
live on
a couch.
For a couch in Beaverton.
Yeah, for a couch in Beaverton. I was getting fucked over for sure.
But you got the job right away, right?
Yeah. Like I got to Oregon January 4th, and I started my job January 20th.
Red. There you go.
Yeah, and I just the same thing that got me to Oregon was going to help me stay, which was Craigslist. I just went on Craigslist every day, all day until I found a job. And I was willing to take anything.
Found some other shit too, but you know, a job.
I found a nice lady. Turned out she wanted my credit card number. That was a little disappointing.
Her name it was actually Raven. She's
Raven too.
Yeah. You know, I tried to like contact Raven after the fact because she like lives in Portland.
Really, she's not gone with the wind by now.
No, she lives in Portland, but I think she didn't like me or something. I don't know.
She's
she
like,
probably
you
thought
drive
I was
for shit,
to,
man.
She probably thought I was trying to like pursue her sexually, which she had a boyfriend and I knew it, but it was just I don't know. I just
hey,
hurt
it's
my
the
feelings.
Road.
I thought we bonded. Honestly,
the road has its own rules.
It's true that is an aspect of the road is of like
maybe you should just email her your driver's license photo again.
Yeah, that's hey, definitely
baby,
how to secure a meeting.
It's still valid. Doesn't expire for another 17
Eyes are still
months.
BLU, baby.
Wait,
yo,
still
man,
185.
You like Monterey Jack cheese, baby? Got the hookup.
I'm an organ donor now, so.
That's great, because she moved you to Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah, we need that.
That's the first time I did it.
Yeah.
That's a thing now, man.
That's my first bad joke.
So, yeah, I got a job being like a maintenance supervisor. At a or not a supervisor that'd be too prestigious for me.
No, you've supervised like a dude not drink like.
Yeah, I should be a supervisor.
You're a delegator now, man. You're a fucking architect, as far as I'm concerned.
An architect of sobriety.
Yeah, I drew out this perfect plan, man. You see this pillar of sobriety, man. Don't fuck with this.
I've drawn up a simple 12-step plan.
Yeah. Step one: admit that you are powerless against alcohol.
Yeah. And you guys read these notes, I'm going to be in the back getting fucked up.
Step two, there is cigarettes and coffee for everybody here at the meetings.
What was the first open mic you did in town?
The first open mic I did was Brody, the Brody Theater.
Shout out Brody Theater.
It's weird. I remember performing at the Brody and having Dylan Jones here laugh. And I said, like, oh, that guy looks like Kurt Cobain mixed with Clay Matthews or something. Something dumb, like called you out from stage. And who would have thought that like we would have ended up being roommates and friends in short order?
And I yelled, who's Clay Matthews?
Like, he's like, that's my favorite songwriter and my favorite linebacker, bro. Boom.
Kurt Cobain's a great defensive player.
one of the best from a dynasty, actually, family.
He did die nasty.
Oh, God. Yes. That's our new thing is we do the poem snaps whenever somebody does an awful joke.
God damn it, Victor. That was great. You made it. You helped the dude get fucking sober. Albeit he died later, but that's not on you. So good job, man. Thanks. And you attempted to help a dude get rid of his stuff.
Yeah, that guy was helpless.
And that guy was just like, no, that's my... You threw out a cloth bathtub, though.
Yeah, I do still feel
cloth tub. That is kind of fucked up.
How do you throw out a cloth?
Yeah.
Dude.
How many people was that?
You know how sometimes when people are moving, they'll just, like, ask the city to come bring a dumpster by? They brought a dumpster by. And I was like, this shit needs to go. And it was that whole day. I threw out so much shit that day. That day, we were at our wit's end. And it was just like, fucking everything goes, man. This is not needed. We don't need any of this. And it was like when Jack was out of town, he came back all sorts of pissed.
Oh, I bet. That was all my stuff. Well, all right, cool, man. I guess this is the end. And, people, thanks for listening. Come back for part two. All right, peace.